to Washington, D.C., and Jerry Bodlander.
Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, gentlemen, and happy Monday.
Yeah, I understand it's a mighty cold Monday for you in Washington, D.C.
You know, I got to tell you, it's first of all, it's a beautiful sunny day. It is not as cold as I thought it would be. It's probably about 25 right now. With the wind chill, they say it's about 19, which is not horrendous. Actually, a little warmer than I thought it would be based on all the forecasts. Now, having said that, standing outside in that kind of temperature for hours on end is not a whole lot of fun. And if you're somebody in a marching band who's blowing a metal, you know, breathing into a metal instrument that is outside for hours, that is not fun as well.
Yeah, and all that spit.
The weather, I mean, the weather could be a whole lot worse. But, you know, as we know, the inauguration's been moved inside into the rotunda. And, of course, you know, it's a beautiful setting. One, we should point out, it's the same place where Trump supporters rioted trying to overturn the 2020 election. The fact that it's going to be inside means that all of President-elect Trump's supporters who came to D.C. with tickets from their lawmakers to attend the inauguration and stand outside on the Mall are not going to get in, because it's going to be a very, very select crowd inside the rotunda. It is, you know, it's a nice space, but it's not a space that holds thousands and thousands of people. One would expect that folks would be, you know, belly to belly, if you will, in the area where folks are allowed in. Obviously, dignitaries will have seats, but, you know, there might be a couple of hundred people as opposed to, what, thousands, hundreds of thousands, who knows, how many were going to show up on the Mall.
And of course, we'll have television coverage and internet streaming and all of that to go with it. Let's step back.
Absolutely.
Let's step back 24 hours here. And first of all, this is the last few hours of a half a century of public service for Joe Biden.
It is. You know, Biden famously was a senator before he was vice president, before he was elected president. You know, it's the end of a very, very long career. And, you know, in the past couple of days, and I should say in the past couple of hours, you know, he's taken some actions that could end up being his legacy. First of all, he pardoned his son, which a lot of folks thought was a mistake, and he had said he would not do. And now in the overnight hours, we learned that he's issued preemptive pardons to a number of people who've come under sharp attack from the president-elect. That includes Dr. Anthony Fauci, retired General Mark Milley, also all the members of the House January 6th committee that investigated the attack on the Capitol, and not only the members of the House committee, but also staffers of that committee, and police officers who testified before the committee. Now, the interesting aspect of that is, you know, it's not unusual for presidents to issue pardons at the end of their term. We've seen that, and to issue commutations. But Biden has used the power in really what is the broadest way possible. He's pardoning people who haven't even been investigated. And there's a concern among some folks that, you know, this lays the groundwork for an even broader use of pardons by soon-to-be President Trump and future presidents, because, you know, they could give a wink and a nod to folks who take actions that they might not originally want to do for fear of being investigated and possibly charged with crimes. And now they can basically say, hey, listen, don't worry about you doing the whatever you do in the future or what you've done. I'll take care of you.
Well,
so
the things that,
it's an interesting part of his legacy.
Yeah, one of the things that Robin pointed out earlier, he said, what about Liz Cheney? But you covered that.
Yep, Liz Cheney, of course, you know, has come under sharp attack from President-elect Trump. You know, her anti-Trump criticism resulted in, you know, Trump backing somebody else for the House seat. She, of course, lost that race. She's been ostracized by a lot of the Republican Party, and you know, he has said flat out that she and other members of the January 6th committee should go to jail.
So last night we had a rally, which I'm not familiar with most presidents having rallies before they take office.
Yeah, but you know, this president loves to have rallies, and he knows that the folks who attend these rallies adore him. And so he held a rally at the Capital One Arena, which is, I don't know, if the crow flies, maybe a mile from where the inauguration is going to take place. About 20,000 people attended. He made clear that once he takes the oath of office, he is going to sign a number of executive orders, most notably declaring an emergency at the southern border. He also made some comments about the fact that he's going to give a lifeline to TikTok, which, you know, went dark for a very, very short period of time, but then came back online after the president-elect indicated that he would sign an executive order, giving it, I think, 90 days at least to try and sort things out because of the federal law that went into effect that ordered it go dark because of national security concerns. Now, let me mention this. Because of the Capital One Arena. There was a big rally there last night. It holds about 20,000. Imagine this. You're someone who's come into town, and you have a commemorative ticket, which basically is now just you know, something to mark the fact that you got a ticket from your lawmaker or someone else, and you can't go to the mall because there's no event there. But there's going to be an event after the inauguration at the Capital One Arena. So you go, hey, let's go over there. Let's just say 50,000 people go there, just to pick a number. It holds 20. And one of the local TV stations here said that there's going to be one, count them, one way to get in with metal detectors. So you can imagine this is going to be a recipe for, you know, possibly some craziness as a lot of people descend on this location to try and at least see part of the inaugural events, since they've been, if you will, frozen out of attending on the mall. And so, you know, this could get a little nutty, if you will, but certainly, you know, the D.C. police are ready for it and have made arrangements. And so, you know, we're going to see exactly what happens. But yes, there was a big rally last night. There'll be a rally after the inauguration, and of course there will be you know, several inaugural balls that the soon to be president will attend, you know, because that's just the way it's done.
And so with everything moving inside and kind of moving around, it looks like it's going to be a party for a lot of people, and you had a lot of tourism in town.
Yeah, I mean, there are a lot of people in town, a lot of folks who you know, made plans a long time ago to come to D.C. You know, some, I'm sure, are not ready for the cold weather if they've come from warm weather states. You know, let's face it, if you deal with cold weather and you know you're going to be outside, you know, you prepare accordingly. But yeah, certainly D.C., which is a very, very Democratic area, has seen a lot of pro-Trump supporters come into town, and they've made their presence known, and certainly they will continue to do so, trying to attend as many pro-Trump events as they can. And, you know, among those folks who've come into town, who of course are being treated very special, are, you know, tech folks like Tim Cook, Jeff Bezos, Elon Musk, Mark Zuckerberg. You know, they're just a sampling of the crowd that will be here, along with the folks who elected Donald Trump for a second time.
Okay, now, there's a lot of inaugural events that are on the presidential calendar, and I was looking for a list of them because they were sponsored and everything. Isn't it like a daisy chain of events that'll be going on today?
Yeah, there are tons of events. I mean, TikTok has... You know, some of them will be luncheons. Some of them are just sort of small galas. You do have the inaugural balls at night, which are really the ticketed events that, you know, folks would like to go to. But for the most part, those are You know, you get a ticket if you donated a lot of money or you've been very, very active in party politics for years and years, or if you're a lawmaker. You know, those are very, very tough tickets to get for the average person. But yes, you have inaugural balls around town, and those are the ones that normally the president and the first lady attend. They go from one to the other to the next. And, you know, there are smaller events. Certainly there are events that, organizations hold. It's just a celebration for the people who supported the president who's coming into office.
Now I want to move over to TikTok here, if I could. And the reason I want to bring this up is Montana was the first state in the union to ban TikTok with our Senate Bill 419 that came up 2 years ago in the legislative session. Pretty much a GOP-sponsored bill all the way through. Governor Greg Gianforte signed the bill, and he reiterates again that he's going to continue to protect our citizens from foreign adversaries who are trying to spy on them and steal their personal data. So here in Montana, there was not a lot of people who wanted TikTok to continue. They wanted it gone. And now it appears we have a new Republican president who's not going to go along with that.
Well, you know, it is very interesting. I remember the line that everybody threw against John Kerry. I forget what the issue was. He was for it before he was against it. Well, you can reverse that with President-elect Trump. He was against it before he was for it, specifically, you know, TikTok. He had come out against it quite some time ago, but now he obviously supports it. Speaking at that rally that we discussed earlier, he told the crowd, as of today, TikTok is back. We won the youth vote by 36 points, so I like TikTok. And so you've seen a pivot, if you will, on the part of many Republicans to support TikTok and to say that, listen, we need to find a way to keep TikTok alive, even though you have this federal law that says it is a national security concern. And so basically the president-elect is going to sign an executive order that will sort of put on hold the federal ban on TikTok. And once he sent that signal, TikTok came back online after the major app stores had removed it. And what's interesting is that the arguments to keep TikTok have now focused on the economic aspect, because you have so many content creators who use it and who have been able to monetize that use, and the fact that TikTok would go dark would hurt them in their pockets. And that has, to some degree, overridden the national security concerns, because everybody says, our data is being collected by tons of folks anyway.
And so I guess the question I'm wondering, or maybe if you've heard any rumblings, Jerry, as to, you know, how's the rest of the GOP going to take this? Obviously, this is a complete, this is a 180-degree shift.
Yeah, it's going to be very interesting, because certainly some lawmakers who spoke out vociferously against TikTok may have to rethink their views. But you do have others who've basically said, listen, TikTok is a danger, and I'm going to split from the, they're not going to say flat out, I'm going to split from the president on this, but you can read into their words. They're basically going to say, I'm not changing my view. I just think we need to force ByteDance to either be divested of this app, or, you know, we need to block it. And so it's going to create a chasm, if you will, within the GOP, depending on how lawmakers decide to approach this. Because you have, and it also depends to be, it also depends on exactly what happens in the 90-day period. Because if a buyer can be found who is an American, and there have been some who have indicated an interest in buying it, you know, we talked a couple of days ago, what about Elon Musk buying it? You know, he's pretty tight with the Chinese because they build a lot of his cars there. And so perhaps his companies can take over. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, and so you'll have a lot of Republicans waiting to see what plays out over the course of the next 3 months, and probably laying very low in terms of their comments about TikTok, basically saying, listen, they're trying to figure it out, and I'll have some comment when we get some finality.
Yeah, all right. Jerry, as always, we appreciate your great reporting, and thank you for the drill down this morning.
It's great to be with you. Have a wonderful day.